Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we got to talk to Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, and George McCaskey on Tuesday. We'll break that all down and more once Jason is done finishing his apple, coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, it's Tuesday. The Bears did their league-mandated leadership press conference on Tuesday at Halas Hall. To me, the most notable part of it is that they presented Ryan Poles as the guy in charge and fell all over themselves repeating it, really trying to do some damage control. I think after a press conference last month that sure made it sound like Kevin Warren was lingering over his shoulder.
Secondly, would be that the leadership press conference you mentioned was lacking, leadership. It was a big day of everything's fine.
Yep.
At Halas Hall. And it was the way they usually do it of, we know everything hasn't been fine like we promised you last time, but I mean, now everything's fine. Yeah. And a lot of talk about self-reflection from, this is from all three, Patrick, Poles, Warren, and McCaskey today. A lot of talk about self-reflection, self-evaluation, really, really just understanding the mistakes of the past. But then no specifics really at all about what those mistakes were and how they're going to be prevented going forward.
What, they jumped off sides during training camp too much, and because of that the Bears knew, or the Bears would say later, that there'd been problems from the beginning? Is that the closest actual specific they gave us, which was Ryan Poles saying, well, we had false starts and we jumped off sides and nobody fixed it?
That, I mean, it's just empty. Like,
yep, absolutely.
Well, there are a few things that we would want to know more than how Ryan Poles specifically possibly got it so wrong hiring Shane Waldron. And it's his fourth really bad hire. Matt Eberflus, Alan Williams, Luke Getsy, and Shane Waldron. And when you look at the first three, you know, you could say, okay, well, you know, maybe as a first-time GM, they had already started with the coach interviews. They kind of forced Eberflus on him. He's never said that publicly or privately, but we certainly wonder about that. He has said that they had to really rush to hire Luke Getsy. Alan Williams was a surprise to Matt Eberflus, who knew him really well from years together in Indianapolis. We could say, I mean,
can we put David Walker on this list?
Usually three strikes and you're out.
Right.
Maybe four strikes and you know, I don't know. Maybe he fouled a couple off here. The offensive coordinator search of 2024, in which they have all the time in the world to prepare for it. They had known for a while what their plan was going to be at quarterback. They had known for a while what their plan that they were going to be moving on from Luke Getsy. And they go on this nationwide tour to interview 9 guys.
Yep.
And hire the 9th best guy and have to fire him half the season in. I mean, that's the thing that you have to answer. That's if you're that is what rattles me more than anything else as far as believing that Ryan Poles is going to get this hire right. So you have to come out and say, here's, you don't have to tell us everything, but you need to tell us and the public a few things that you completely misjudged in some of these hires. And you could add to some of the hires retaining Matt Eberflus for the 2024 season, when there was plenty of negative, there was more bad than good on his ledger at the end of 2023. If you remember 2023, I mean, I don't know how many lifetimes ago that is for you. It's kind of an inside joke with Kevin Warren. I guess it's, we'll get to that quote later, a year is a lifetime. There were just brutal decisions made during that year. Brutal collapses on the field, 2 coaches having to leave, just constant mistakes and inflaming it at the podium by Matt Eberflus, and you decide to keep him. We need explanations for some of those things. We need specifics of what you got wrong in some of those decisions and why you won't get it wrong again. Instead, it's a lot of quotes that sound good, that would be good sound bites of, I'm really going to look in the mirror. We're going to look at past processes. We're going to look back through our, and no concrete answers, nothing of substance that tells you, Patrick, they are going to get it right this time. They know what they've been missing, and they know how to find it.
They could have even just thrown Matt Eberflus into the volcano and said, well, we screwed up the coordinator hires over the last couple of years because we hired the guy Matt wanted to hire. They could have done that. They didn't. Instead, they just said, we'll do it again, and it'll be better, and you got to trust me on this. One thing that they did do was Ryan Poles made a very intentional decision a couple of times to say, I'm the one doing the hiring. The coach is going to report to me. I have no concerns about working with Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren goes out of his way to say, we like Ryan Poles. George McCaskey says, we like Ryan Poles.
Well, the visual, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, the visual, and it's a little inside baseball, but go with us on this. The Bears...
they know. I think they know. I think that they were talking about this in December.
Yeah. In December, Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren sat at the same table at a press conference. Kevin Warren sat up straight, wore a three-piece suit, and had a 8-minute and 20-second opening statement. Ryan Poles wore a quarter zip, sat slumped, and just it was clear. The visual just made it look like Ryan was in the principal's office and that the principal was in charge.
And part of it is just the way that they talk, which was not specific to that day. But Ryan Poles is very soft-spoken, and Kevin Warren speaks like he's on the floor of the Senate.
All the time.
So when you put those next to each other, and that wasn't specific to that day, but when you put them next to each other, Kevin's going to come out looking a lot more authoritative.
Yes. So today, what they did was Ryan Poles had the press conference all to himself. They put him at a podium, which I don't think he'd ever spoken at a podium before. I think he usually sits down.
Instead of the two-man desk.
Yeah, and he was kind of rocking back and forth a little bit. You can tell he was nervous at first. But then they had Kevin Warren and George McCaskey speak in the Midway, which is a room attached to...
It's basically a lobby.
It's a lobby, and they had a backdrop, and they weren't on a dais. The visual they wanted to show the world was that Ryan was in charge.
He's out front.
And that the others were commenting about Ryan. That's interesting, and I think that's worth noting, even for people who aren't like us, who don't care about these things. I think it's important to show what the team wants the world to think. And the reason that's important, Jason, isn't because of the fans. It's not because of the media. It's because they are trying to send a message to their next head coach, whomever he may be, that Ryan Poles is the decision maker.
He's your boss.
And that he is your boss. And that I'm guessing what they're trying to prevent is a potential head coach looking at Kevin Warren or George McCaskey and saying, why do we have this guy? Why can't I bring my own guy?
No answers from the Bears. There's a lot that they needed to clear up today, mm-hmm. as far as that goes, Patrick, and they didn't. They have to start by, we'll start here. They needed to begin by sorting out and cleaning up all of the smoke that's around Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren. When you have Kevin Warren, and if you go back and read Kevin Warren's statement originally about Ryan Poles at the Matt Eberflus firing press conference, it was really strong. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, hey, Ryan's the guy, whatever. It was very, very strong wording in his statement on him, as all Kevin Warren statements are. They're all very forceful and compelling. They needed to sort out all of these rumors that Ryan Poles brought up at the press conference. They said these rumors, and he's alluding to the fact that there's discord between him and Kevin Warren that would lead to, and this has all been rumor and speculation, none of this has appeared really anywhere credible, that Kevin Warren was fading on Ryan Poles after that original statement, or that Ryan Poles would be so dissatisfied with the state of the power structure with the Bears that he would resign and leave. And Ryan Poles is out there saying that just couldn't be farther from the truth. Meanwhile, by the way...
Also, we've talked about these. We have not reported any of what you just said because we didn't believe most of it to be true. In fact, we had talked about it to the point to where, A, it'd be silly for him to just walk away. And B, to your point, Kevin Warren supported Ryan Poles, and anything that happened on the field afterwards didn't matter.
It'd be an epic walk back for Kevin Warren. But yes, the Bears have allowed this to swirl.
Yeah.
And they could sit here and say, well, we don't need to go commenting on or snuffing out every one of these things. But that is not the world that they exist in.
No.
In 2025. When they started the team, if you go back 100 years to 1925, sure, maybe you don't have to worry about that. But right now, like, things that take root on social media, mm-hmm. and I think there's discretion. Some of this doesn't need to be addressed. But when something like that takes root on social media and sports radio and blog sites, it had certainly reached a point where it would have been warranted for them to step in and snuff it out. And that you ask for, there'd be no clearer proof of that than Ryan Poles bringing it up unprompted
right.
at the podium today. So they made clear that Ryan Poles is going to run this.
Yeah, can I stop you
real
quick?
But he won't be the only one involved.
I just can't shake this image. What do you think in 1920, the equivalent of a text message, being like, hey, just so you know, blah, blah, blah.
Pigeon.
Pigeon? I like pigeon. That's good. I was thinking some sort of note you slipped on somebody's horse, maybe.
A telegram, maybe? You send a telegram, and it's like, Ryan Poles is satisfied here, see?
See?
He's not resigning, see?
Okay, all right, back
Ryan's going to run point on the coaching search, see?
Back to serious.
Bears didn't have to do coaching searches back then. As yeah, George McCaskey noted, one person held this job for 40 years.
Boy, those reporters. Oh, man, they had their Januaries to themselves to go farm or fix their not cars in their free time. Anyway, moving on.
I don't know if we really have any other bullet points on.
You were getting into something important and I stopped you.
But, you know, with Ryan Poles out front on the coaching search and talking about being reflective about the past mistakes that he's made in some of these hires, he just didn't specify anything that was going to be different. It was odd to me. It is odd to me that they have such a long list of candidates, Patrick, given that they actually fired Matt Eberflus November 29th, and they probably started working on a list before that, I would think.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense that they would need to interview this many people at this stage. And the list could be 15 by the time they're done with it.
Well,
of first round interviews. And Ryan Poles said his answer for that today was very short. It was just, there's intriguing candidates that we want to talk to.
And he said, you're going to hear some names that are going to surprise you. He specifically said the word college. You know, maybe there's a college head coach or two out there that they want to hear from. Those guys might not be quite as interested in the world finding out as a assistant coach in the NFL would be. But, yeah, they've cast this wide net. You and I were talking about
that. Sounds to me like not having real clear direction on where you're going and what you want, and it sounds like being too clever.
But the way that this works in the NFL's new structure, or new to us, I guess.
Well, it's different than it was the last time the Bears did this, so it's probably new to our audience and us.
Is that for 2 weeks, all you can do is interview people on Zoom. And there are specific times when you're allowed to, depending on whether their team is still playing or not. Or playing or has a bye in the playoffs.
And those teams can decide too. So, like, they're eligible to interview Ben Johnson Wednesday, but Detroit is saying not till Thursday.
Thursday afternoon to Saturday. Yeah. And they're well within their right to do that. But I guess my point is, if the Bears have 20 guys on their list, this isn't Jet A fuel being burned to go 20 places. This is turning on a laptop and talking probably for, no longer than 3 hours to a bunch of people. I think we should rethink the way we look at candidates because this is not a final – this isn't the final four. This isn't a final two. This is just having phone conversations with dudes, essentially.
Yeah, but, Pat, they leave for the Senior Bowl in less than 3 weeks. They're deep into draft preparation, deep into free agency preparation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time they hire a coach, they're going to have like a month until free agency starts. You need to know who you need.
Yeah,
because whoever this guy is, whoever they hire, they're not bringing their own GM, but they got to work with Ryan Poles, and they got to tell Ryan Poles what they're trying to cook, what they're trying to make for dinner so Ryan Poles can get the right groceries.
But if you're still in the playoffs, if you're playing this week, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, if you're Liam Cohen, if you're
Ben Johnson, ben, Aaron Glenn.
No, they have buys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brian Flores.
The Bills guy. Brian Flores.
Joe Brady.
If you're those guys, you cannot talk to the Bears until a week from Wednesday. So the Bears aren't sitting here just, I mean, the Bears have time to do this. If they weren't conducting interviews with a half dozen people over the next 3 days, they'd just be waiting, right? Like, I don't see how it hurts in the initial stage. Now, I think you and I both agree that they better winnow this thing down to four, maybe?
For me, three? I would have had, by the time we got to today, or 2 days ago, or the end of the season, I guess, I would have had a list of about five. Guys that I had done my background on, I had called around on, we have thoroughly vetted everything about them, and we're really interested in these. I'm just throwing five out there as an example. Just pay mm-hmm. attention to the main point I'm trying to make here.
Yep.
And then I would have wanted to interview those guys to see who do I feel like is the right temperament and the right personality and has all the right answers to the questions that I ask them.
I think there are complicating factors there.
The risk is going to be triple that.
I think that's a good number. I think five's a good number, but I think there's some complicating factors. Number one, two of them in person need to be people of color or female. That's the Rooney rule. If you don't have two of those in your five, you need more. The other thing is, because you need to do those interviews in person, you need your Rooney rule people to stop winning football games or not be participating in football games. That slows down the timeline as well. Jason, I think you and I both agree probably that Kevin Warren can say, hey, man, you got to go into every job search with an open mind. I'm sure there are three or four people written down in a different color pen than everybody else, people who the Bears are genuinely intrigued by. And I'm sure Ben Johnson is one of them. I think Brian Flores may be one of them. I think Mike Vrabel may be one of them. There is a different. Not all of these candidates are created equal. David Shaw, who I love, but should not be an NFL head coach in the year 2024. David Shaw and Ben Johnson aren't the same when we're talking about interview candidates.
Yeah, I think that you should be open-minded going into a decision like this, but I think you should have... The time for that was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now you should be much more focused.
I also think that in other sports, particularly in college sports, if you fire a coach early, the whole thought is, well, shoot, you get a jump on everybody else.
And you're ready.
In the NFL, the rules are such that you really don't. You may have more time to collect your thoughts, more time to have your consultant go do background research to make sure these people aren't serial killers, but you really don't get to move any faster than the next guy gets to move because of what hoops you need to jump through at the end of the year.
As far as the actual logistics of how they're going to conduct the interviews, Ryan Poles said, I believe, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people will be in the room interviewing these guys. It's going to be Poles, Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, Matt Feinstein, who is Poles' cap guy, Jeff King, who is a key personnel guy for Poles, and Liz Geist from Human Resources. Two names, interestingly, not on that list, one being Trey Koziel, and one being the assistant GM, Ian Cunningham. And Poles right away addressed that and said that Ian Cunningham, he believes, will be a candidate for the two GM openings there are right now in the league, and wants Ian Cunningham to be able to focus on his interviews for those jobs. And if he does not end up getting one of those jobs, then he, or if he's out of the running for one of those jobs, then he can rejoin the Bears coaching search. That's a little strange.
Curious. Yeah, curious.
That's his right-hand man. They lived together when they first came to the Bears.
Yeah, it makes you wonder whether Ian Cunningham's a long-term piece here anymore or not. And it may be better for Ian to not be. I mean, the way things have been going here. So they'll do that, and then, and I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, Jason, because I really don't think it's a giant deal. But when the Bears get into the later rounds, they're going to want some of their business side people to meet with whatever candidates they have. Poles gave some answer about how beautiful it is that business and the football side work hand in hand and skip down the street together.
His boss likes that comment.
I'm sure his boss did. I think the rest of us and Bears fans probably rolled their eyes a little bit, but suffice it to say that at the end, they want the important people in this building, even the people who are on the business side, to at least feel like they had a role in interviewing these finalists. Does that bother you?
Nah, it doesn't really matter. I don't think that's going to end up being a significant thing.
No.
I don't think that's really going to be the people making any kind of decisions. And Kevin Warren kind of cleared that up later.
Right.
George was asked about the fans chanting, "Sell the team." Well, you've wanted to hear his response to that, haven't you? Spoiler alert, he's not going to. But well, go ahead.
He said it was understandable. I mean, that's something.
What's he supposed to say?
Yeah.
What's he supposed to say? What's up yours?
he did a pretty good mid-sentence walk back.
Take him through it.
Take the people through it. Well, I want to pull this up. He was asked, I believe it was by Brad Biggs, what he thought of the sell the team chant. And he said it was understandable. You know, he said that Bears fans are frustrated. And then he essentially goes, well, on a related note, he goes, Bears fans sold a lot of their tickets to the Lions fans for the Lions game. And he caught himself midway through. And
he was kind of scolding them.
He said,
allowing Lions fans to get into that game.
He said, our fans are passionate, they're incredibly frustrated, and they wanted to make their voices heard. That's about the sell the team stuff. No problems there, right? I was more bothered by the week before when Lions fans tried to take over Soldier Field and force the home team to go to a silent count. Fortunately, that didn't happen. The Bears didn't use the silent count. It's understandable that Bears fans would sell their tickets because of the way the season has gone and the challenges for us to put a team on the field that Bears fans are so that Bears fans are not interested in selling their tickets.
I think he had trouble keeping that answer on the road.
It seemed to veer off the whenever you go into what I was more interested in, you're setting yourself up.
You don't probably scold the paying customers ever.
Right. And everywhere we've been, the last 2 years, Jason, it's been remarkable, the uptick in Lions enthusiasm and Lions fans that we've seen here, and particularly at Ford Field.
The two games this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we always see when we cover the Bears on the road, we always see a pretty good Bears representation.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Arizona game.
Particularly
this,
the
Arizona,
this year.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Chicagoans out there, but you didn't see it at Ford Field.
No.
That, there was nobody, no Bears fans getting it. You'd have to apparently buy your way into Ford Field if you're the Vikings for their fans last week. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that's the only way you're getting road fans into that stadium. And then when they played here, three, four weeks later, there was more road fans than I think I've seen for any Bears game in the time I've been covering them.
And they have such great colors. You can tell it immediately. It's not not like it's a black or navy blue team. Jason, do you remember the Patch.com game when the Bears went to Detroit?
I always forget if it's Patch.com or Patches.com. And I think that right there is an indicator of how totally irrelevant it should have been.
That was a winless Lions team playing a really bad Bears team. My wife and kid came, and they sat five rows behind the goalpost. And I think they paid $40 a person, something like that. To get in this Thanksgiving at Ford Field, I think the number started with a four, as in 400 to sit in the upper deck. So,
did you shell out for that? Are you that nice of a dad?
No, they went to Canada instead. Yeah. Anyway, moving on to something more important.
By the way, speaking of patches.com, Matt Nagy getting interviews.
If Matt Nagy's name was Jason Leisure, Matt Nagy would get interviews.
The
here.
Resume, like if it was a nameless resume?
The nameless resume, I think, would be a top five resume for this job.
You'd be hiring.
You'd be
hiring a guy who has won the last two Super Bowls as an assistant coach, who comes from Andy Reid, who comes from, I'm putting air quotes right now, developing Patrick Mahomes, and who has a long history and friendship with the GM and other executive staff members.
And Ted Cruz. Right. It would make a ton of sense. Real quick, let's talk about Mike McCarthy before we get out of here. As we sit here now, Jason.
Would he, maybe if his name wasn't Mike McCarthy, maybe I'd like that option better?
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't help myself. I've written this twice in the last day. There's a street in Green Bay named Mike McCarthy Way.
Because he won a Super Bowl.
Because he won a Super Bowl. Yeah. They have the streets named after all their Super Bowl winners. He is, regardless of what you think of his clock management, regardless of what you think of his general demeanor, he is on paper one of the great active coaches in the NFL. That is not disputable. He is also a Packers legend. He also may get fired by the Cowboys. I think it's a bad look if they hire him, but it's interesting to me.
It's so uninspiring to me, too. I'm just
the coach of the team that Caleb Williams grew up loving, the guy who helped develop Aaron Rodgers, and this is not a Matt Nagy was there for a year with Patrick Mahomes situation.
No,
this
they
is
actually
a,
coached him on the bench for 3 years.
He coached up one of the great quarterbacks of all time. It doesn't intrigue you just a little bit?
I'd rather have Pete Carroll if we're going that route.
Pete Carroll's not good at the things you need a head coach to be good at in this search, which is dealing with a quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
He's not Mike McCarthy.
You're giving me those two choices, I want Pete Carroll. If I'm getting a guy who's been around forever and,
Mike Vrabel, where does he rank? Is he a distant
third?
I'm
not interested in Mike Vrabel. They're going to interview him. He's on their list. What's your temperature on Mike Vrabel?
I think Mike Vrabel is a big personality, and I don't know how that would play here. I think George McCaskey is somebody who didn't want light cursing on Hard Knocks. And I think Mike Vrabel is not of that temperament even by football coach standards. I think he's accomplished, but if I were the Bears, the best thing Mike Vrabel could do for the Bears probably is go get that Patriots job to take another person off of Ben Johnson's list, or another team off of Ben Johnson's list. Yeah. Jason, that'll do it from here. We will have plenty of things to talk about as the weeks drag on, and they will drag on because this will take a couple of weeks. Until then, you can follow Mark Potash and myself and Jason on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, go buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.